Joy is to come to the earth. Hope, peace, joy, and love. A promise fulfilled. The story of Christmas. The many characters involved in the Christmas story. Some major, some minor. We are going to hear from Zacharias. We are about to hear from Zacharias, the priest of Israel and the father of John the Baptist. Before calling on Zacharias, let me just say a few things about him. He was known as a righteous man, was a priest before God, and was one of the few people to be directly addressed by an angel. A weakness. Zacharias momentarily doubted the angel's promise of a son because of his own age. His wife was Elizabeth, and both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. So thank you to Reverend Penny. We get to meet Zacharias. He's brought alive to us in a monologue. Zacharias, welcome. And please go ahead and tell us more about yourself. It has been over 400 years since we have heard from a prophet. And as a result, things have been upside down in our nation for far too long. We have long suffered under corruption, incompetence, weak kings that turned our nation away from God. We have suffered under the brutality of the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and now for the past 63 years, we have been occupied and oppressed by the ruthless Romans. General Pompey conquered our holy land for Rome, and in 37 BC, following a failed rebellion, the Romans turned Judea into a Roman province and installed the Jewish King Herod the Great as administrator. King was too lofty a title. He was more like a provincial premier. Meanwhile, we held tightly to the promise of a deliverer, Messiah, who will set us free from our oppressors and be a king like David and sit on David's throne. He will establish a kingdom of righteousness and justice, and Israel's calling was to be a kingdom of priests who will serve God. We know the words of Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his kingdom will never end. And we hold to the covenant God made with Abraham, I will bless you and make you a blessing, and through your seed all the world will be blessed. Let me tell you, though, there has been a lot of waiting and hoping, and not much has been moving except injustice and oppression, and that seems to know no bounds. Do you like your government? Do you ever wish things could be better? In Israel, we have had enough. Somebody please give us a good government. But I am now an old man, and I wonder if at any time in my time will I ever see things change? Will hope be realized? Will the prophecies of our prophets ever be fulfilled? Yes, my name is Zacharias or Zach. Well, let's stick with Zacharias. I am a priest. I am a Jewish priest and I am old. All my life I've known only foreign rule, oppression, the Romans. I despise them. Well, I was not always old. I have just slowly gotten older and older, and now here I am. I'm old. Maybe even ancient. My wife is Elizabeth. She is not old. Oh, no. Elizabeth is most definitely not old. She is, let me get this just right. I learned this in marriage class. Elizabeth is well along in years. That means she's getting better and better as the years go by. You know, all my life I have been waiting and praying for three things. To serve in the temple as priest. To be a father. To see the Messiah. For most of my life, all three prayers seem to go nowhere. The dream of having children is something that Elizabeth and I had given up on. Getting old has punched a hole in that biological balloon. And when we bought our first house in a small subdivision on the outskirts of Jerusalem, we made sure that there were a couple of extra bedrooms for the children. Oh, we prayed and prayed to God to bless us with children. Our friends were, well, they were very sweet when their children were born, for they would say, oh, you will make such great parents someday. But the children never came and the room stayed empty. Did God hear our prayers? We often wondered. And slowly the dream, it died. And the pain and disappointment lingered, and it grew. But I get rather excited when I talk about serving at the temple. That was a great honor, I must say. I kept hoping and praying, but once again the years slipped by, and I became impatient and a little frustrated. After all, I am a priest, and my father was a priest. And serving at the temple in Jerusalem is the highest honor a priest can ever have. A priest served at the temple for 1 week each year. But I was a member of one of 24 divisions in the priesthood, one of approximately 18,000 priests of the Eighth Order of Abijah. A priest only officiated at the sacrifice once in a lifetime. And I was, well, anyone who was going to be a priest was selected by lottery. In other words, you could be a priest all of your life and never be called to serve in the temple. But finally, my name was called. The answer to prayer number one so arrived. And so there I am in the temple. It is our most holy place in all the world. And I'm feeling excited and yet guarded in my excitement, for I do not want to make a mistake. My job was to burn incense, symbolizing the prayers of God's people rising towards heaven. The altar of incense was made of acacia wood with a veneer of gold. Acacia is a beautiful wood that's almost indestructible. And the altar was 36 inches high, 18 inches square. It served as a place for the daily burning of incense, both morning and evening. I must calm down, but I get so excited. This twice daily exercise consisted of a priest taking burning coals from the bronze altar in the temple court to the altar of incense and placing the coals on the incense. And the incense was a mixture of five spices, and when the hot coals hit the incense, a burst of smoke and smells floated up to heaven. Daily prayer at the temple occurred at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. and is called the time of perpetual offering. And in that moment, I was placing the coals on the incense, symbolizing prayer. Well, you would not believe what happened. There before me, an angel appears and says, "Your prayer has been heard." Well, when I saw him, I was startled and was gripped with fear. It's not every day that you see an angel, but the angel said to me, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. My prayer has been heard. My response was more of a question than an utterance of belief. How could this be? It has been years and years, and I think it is too late. But the angel continued, and you are to call him John. And he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he is never to... Well, the angel went on, and I recognized those words from Isaiah 40, verse 3, and Malachi 4, verse 6. Well, as you can imagine, I was startled and shaken, and without thinking, I blurted out, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. I still think it was a fair question. It has been many, many years. To be honest, I was not expecting this when I woke up this morning. And besides, I was already excited to serve in the temple. I may have overreacted. But the angel looked at me with incredulity. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Well, the angel went on, and then I realized this is no low-level angel. This is Gabriel. Gabriel, as you may know, is a high-powered angel. He appeared to Daniel when God wanted to talk about the future, what some call, and I love saying this word, eschatology. It just rolls off the lips. And when Gabriel shows up right in front of me, I should have known that something big was on the agenda. And before I had time to apologize, boom! Immediately, I lost my speech. Talk about bad timing. You see, when the priest comes out of the temple after burning incense, he gives a blessing to the people, but I could not speak. All I could do was... well, use sign language. The people who gathered at the temple that day knew something had occurred. What took so long, Zacharias? What happened? And of course, I could not say a word. I was tongue-tied. And like I said earlier, if you want to talk when an angel is around, you might be very wise to keep your mouth closed. So I just made motions with my hands, and I think I must have looked shaken, and I may have staggered a little bit, but people seem to figure it out. He has seen a vision. I think something happened in there. I just wanted to go home and be with Elizabeth, but again, I could not even talk to her. All I could do was use sign language and scribble a few words. Two prayers had been answered all in one day after all these years of waiting and waiting. And those words are still ringing in my ears. Your prayer has been heard. Except I had lost my tongue. It was as if Gabriel had put duct tape over my mouth. Nothing was coming out, not a sound. He shut me down. Talk about putting my foot in my mouth. I discovered something, though, about angels. They like to have the last word. And a word of advice. When you are around angels, keep your mouth closed so you can talk. Maybe it was God's way of saying to me, stop talking. Just watch. I'll take things from here. Well, what more could happen to startle me, shake me up? Yes, you guessed it. Not long after this temple experience, Elizabeth announces she is pregnant. It's really happening, just like Gabriel said, and I wanted to tell all of my friends how exciting it was to finally serve in the temple, and secondly, I'm going to be a father too, but I am tongue-tied. I guess I will just post it on Facebook. Yes, Gabriel appeared to me, but I am not Daniel caliber. I am merely a rank-and-file priest, of an old one of 18,000 priests. I recall Gabriel's words. His name will be called John. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be powerful and full of the Spirit, just like Elijah. Well, during the 9 months pregnancy, I was filled with eager anticipation, but I could not get a word out, not one word. 9 months, unable to talk. I had time to think and read, and I remembered our patriarch, Abraham, and his wife, Sarah. They also had no children, and they were old. They also had a visit from an angel to talk about a baby. Their baby, baby Isaac, was a fulfillment of the covenant God made with Abraham. Is our baby going to have significance on the scale of Isaac? Is this the beginning of the new covenant? Covenant, the one Jeremiah prophesied about 500 years ago. The implications are amazing and overwhelming. Oh, and then I started kicking myself. Why did I question Gabriel? Why, Gabriel? I understand now why he reacted the way he did. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I have been sent to you and your prayer has been heard. Well, suddenly I feel relieved that I only lost my speech. It could have been so much worse. Well, my time is almost up, but let me tell you just a little bit more. 6 months into the pregnancy, another piece of the puzzle appears. Elizabeth's cousin Mary arrives for a visit, and oh, you will not believe this. But it turns out that she too had a visit from the same angel. Now, I don't want to share too much because the story will unfold before you, I hear, in the weeks to come, but Mary is young, not yet married, pledged to be married to a nice young man named Joseph, but Mary is a, well, you may think it is a miracle for Elizabeth and I to have a baby, but for Mary to have a baby, well, that is just on an entirely different level. So you can imagine Mary needed to talk to Elizabeth. As soon as Mary walked in the door and said, "Hello," our baby in Elizabeth's womb jumped or kicked, and Elizabeth felt the baby move, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke prophetic words, which you will hear more about. Well, Mary put two and two together, knowing that somehow these two miracles were connected. For Elizabeth and I get ready for the king, for Mary give birth to the king, bring the kingdom into reality. Well, Mary would stay for only 3 months, right up until the time Elizabeth delivered our baby. I think Mary wanted to see phase one through to completion. No doubt you are wondering as to what happened next. Well, I was only to talk to you about Elizabeth and my story. Was I going to recover my ability to speak, and when and how would this happen? I will leave that part of the story to someone else. As for our son John and the birth of Mary's boy Emmanuel, our Messiah, I will give you a few hints. A few hints about John. Was challenged by both personal grooming and his food menu. But oh, when it came to his preaching. Maybe I have said enough. I will leave you with that tease. Here are a few things I would like to leave with you. Remember, your prayers are heard no matter how old you might be, waiting for the answers to your prayers, and only serves to make it sweeter. Now, as an old man, I'm very excited and very hopeful because of that assurance. My prayers were answered, so keep on praying. And may your prayers rise to heaven like incense. Thank you for listening to my story.
I want to thank Zacharias for sharing his story with us this morning. It has been a great honor. In conclusion, Zacharias was too humble to tell you a few important elements of his story. Zacharias was told before anyone else that God was setting in motion his own visit to earth. Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth were both known for their personal holiness. They were well suited to doing a special work for God, but they shared the pain of not having children. And in Jewish culture, this was considered not having God's blessing. Zacharias and Elizabeth were old and they had stopped even praying to have children. And Zacharias' trip to the temple of Jerusalem was his turn at duty, but oh, it included an unexpected blessing. The record of the prayer in Luke 1 is our last glimpse of Zacharias. Like so many of God's most faithful servants, he passed quietly from the scene once his part was completed. But there are lessons to be learned from Zacharias' life. Physical limitations do not limit God. God accomplishes His will sometimes in unexpected ways. Zacharias becomes our hero for those times when we doubt God and yet are willing to obey. And we gain hope. Hope from Zacharias' story that God can do great things through anyone who is available to Him. Your prayers are heard and answered in God's time.